Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about the social and clinical impact of bullying in our communities, in our schools. My guests are Suzanne Greenfield, director of the Citywide Bullying Prevention Program here in Washington, D.C., and the clinical psychologist, Dr. Jeff Minzi. He's a former counselor with the D.C. public school system. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Shelley, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Shelley, are
Hello?
You there? Yes, go right ahead,
yes.
Shelley. Go right
yes,
ahead.
Yes, I'm here. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Okay, so I'm going to try to make this really quick.
Okay.
So I've been in education for 30 years. I'm a counselor now. And it's real interesting how policies and procedures are made about children, and never once is an educator at the table to help in that decision making when we spend the most time with kids. In terms of bullying, okay, so the problem with bullying is the cell phone problem. So do teachers give cell phones to kids? No. Parents give cell phones to kids. So why can't parents allow their kids to keep their cell phones at home? That's the problem. Many parents are very frustrated about the way schools deal with bullying because we are not the police. We cannot lock kids up. We deal with what parents bring us. The other thing is that there is bullying modeled by adults every evening on reality television. So let's not be surprised about why kids are bullying. We're teaching them this. We give them a resource for a cell phone. I don't understand why an elementary school child needs a cell phone. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Shelley. I appreciate your phone call. You said quite a bit. I'd like both of you to at least respond to what she said.
Right. Thanks for your point, Shelley. Especially when she first said that they're having a bullying model at home, I didn't expect her to jump to reality TV. I thought she was going to touch on the fact that parents often bully their own children. Now, the official definition of bullying has to do with child-based behavior, you know, which to me is very limited because parents bully children all the time. Adults bully kids. Adults are actually bullied in certain workplace environments. But again, the standard definition doesn't include those aspects of bullying. They call it something else. But I say if it's bullying as a child, you know, it's the same thing under a different label as adults. But yes, parents bully their children, especially when it comes to this whole thing about masculinity in boys. A lot of fathers claim they're not going to raise no punks.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, they are typically punking or bullying their male children in attempts to make them tough and able to stand up for themselves and not be a pushover in life. I thought that's where Shelley was going, but it's a very, very important point and a very, very important aspect because it leads back into our discussion about hurt people hurting people. So sometimes children come to school frustrated, angry, upset, looking to lash out at what they perceive to be a safe target after getting their lashings at home.
Your thoughts, Ms. Greenfield?
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think the modeling that we do for our kids, how they see us interact, how people in the school system interact, how teachers talk to each other, how administrators talk to teachers, all affect and tell kids they don't listen to what we say. They watch what we do. And what we do is oftentimes exactly what they give back to us. And I think that's always very interesting on the cell phone issue because I train teachers in D.C. all the time. And I can tell you it's hard to get them off their cell phones when I'm training. Them.
Yes.
They act just like their students.
Which brings me to the point, is it realistic to tell them to put cell phones away, not to give them, you know, this is 2016. We're born with them now.
I would say it's realistic that you come together as a school community, and this is what we tell people. Get your parents, your teachers, your administrators, and your students together to come up with a policy.
Mm-hmm.
Have them work together on it because then they become accountable to the same policy. You're absolutely right, Shelley. I actually used that line in a parent training this morning. Schools did not give those kids those cell phones. We did as parents. We have to give rules. Yeah. But we can work together as a community and come up with a set of rules that work for all of us.
In other words, change the culture of the school. Yeah, that's why you have to do it policy level. And just you have to change the culture of the school. And that cell phone, I don't know if all of our listeners caught on to what Shelley was saying when she related the cell phones to bullying, but I think it ties back into the video recording and the spreading of embarrassing images of the youth. I think that's what she was getting at. For those saying, what the heck cell phones got to do with bullying? Mm-hmm. I think that might be where she was going with that.
Okay, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Brenda calling from Gaithersburg. Thanks for calling, Brenda. What's on your mind?
Hi, well, good evening to everyone.
Peace.
I'm an aunt, a great aunt. I live in Gaithersburg. My nieces and nephews that I'm speaking of live in Kentucky. And so it's worldwide. It's a worldwide fungus with these kids and bullying. And I watch my nieces, who are A students, always have been, be bullied. I've actually flown to Kentucky to sit on the board with the teachers, the administrators, her parents, and the children. And the people or the children that are bullying, their parents don't have the time to come to the meetings and be told about what their children are doing. So it's my point is that this is so widespread, and two, it's like a fungus. Nobody seems to be doing much about it. Good luck with teaching the teachers to change their culture and the children, too.
Okay. Brenda, thank you so much. Ms. Greenfield, talk to me about parents, because it seems to me that it's a statement as old as parenting. It starts at home.
You know, we parents, and I'm going to say I'll take ownership over that too. As a parent, we can be our own worst enemy in all of this. And one of the things that kids tell us, and they tell us this over and over again, not just in the city but across the country, is they don't tell their parents what's going on because we have a tendency to overreact and make it worse. And so part of this is, I hear your frustration, Brenda, and I am really sorry what's happening with your nieces and nephews, but figuring out how to address the situation without a blame game starting is really the first step. We got to listen to our kids. We got to hear them out completely. And we also have to assume we don't know the whole story. And there is more going on than the piece of the puzzle that they've brought us. There's other pieces. And we're going to have to work together with the school and the larger community to figure out how to address this. And it all goes back to that positive school climate stuff.
Have either of you spoken to the parents of a child who was bullying?
Yes.
Was there an aha moment? Was there a light bulb that went off in the head of the parent because they were completely unaware?
When I've had these conversations, the initial reaction, and I say reaction essentially, is defensiveness. You know, not my child, you know. But, you know, as a clinician, I'm trained to kind of navigate beyond defensiveness and even to not bring it up in the first place. And so kind of indirectly get at the point. But yes, eventually the parent will admit that, yes, I know my child. The child cuts up at home, too. I understand it. You know, so, yes, most parents know that their child has the potential for bullying, but some will have denial and be defensive about it on the front end of it. That's just my experience with it.
And so what is the fix that you've suggested for those parents once they are able to get their minds around the fact that their child is troublesome?
Right. The one is to pay the child sufficient amount of attention. You know, a lot of times, you know, I like to say ADHD is an attention deficit, you know, attention deficit disorder, ADD. And it's because they're not getting a sufficient amount of attention. And so they do things to get the attention, whether it's negative or positive. And then what that leads to is punishment. And so the home environment is typically where there's bruise and where it's bred. You know, so the sister said it was like a fungus, you know, which, like, it's a heck of an illustration because
yes.
Fungus, it's difficult to get rid of
it. It pops up everywhere, and it's hard to get rid
of it, you know. And so it's the home environment, it's the culture at home that I helped them, you know, ordering your home, consistent discipline, non-physical discipline when possible. Watch your tone and how you talk to the child. There's a book called For Your Own Good that deals with corporal punishment in children and how it manifests later in life as aggression from them going towards other safe, quote-unquote, safe targets. So I say modify the home environment, the culture at home, so that it's as non-aggressive as possible. Find other ways to resolve your issues. Model those ways for your child and reward your child for implementing those behaviors so that it becomes second nature to them.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. William calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for hanging on, William. What's on your mind?
Okay, Yes. But I was a victim of. William,
let me stop you. Can you give us a call back? You may be on a bad cell. Maybe you can give us a call back, and as soon as you call back, we'll take your call again because you're breaking up just a bit, and then we certainly want to be able to hear your point. So I'm going to hang up, give us a call back, and we'll talk to you when you call back. That's 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Malcolm, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Malcolm. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I think that the issue, in order to tackle the issue as a whole, it needs to start with the development of the children in their mental state and their cognitive behaviors and different things of that nature. First off, the children that are doing the bullying have some type of mental disability, most likely caused by trauma of some sort. And then the child that's majorly affected by the bullying also has some type of mental slowness or some type of cognitive behavior dissonance that's causing him to react so harshly. So it basically goes down to the training of the children and the different morals and values that you set into a child. If a child knows he's strong and believes in himself, then when he goes to school and someone tells him he's not, he's confident enough to overstep that. It's the same thing in the adulthood. You know, we as adults have to go through different things, treatment and therapy and all these other things to correct infractions done as a child, whether knowingly or unknowingly, which means that could be some type of bullying or it could also be some type of misinformative information by the parent from what they know.
Well, Malcolm, let me stop you there. Is that true, Dr. Menzie? I may believe that up to a point, but maybe I'm just old school. We got some bad kids.
Yeah,
you just have some kids that are just bad. Yeah. And they,
you have bad behavior.
Yeah, bad.
Kids.
Well, that's,
they're not bad kids.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you've got kids that are. I know some of those kids that I grew up with that had, as you say, Ms. Greenfield, extremely bad behavior.
Not bad kids.
And they were not, as far as I know, they were not mentally ill. They didn't come from bad households. And I know them today because they graduated from high school with me, and they've become wonderful, productive citizens.
Right.
They're not sick.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far to say that all children that are bullies have a mental disorder and that that are impacted or respond negatively to bullying are also have mental issues, mental delays, cognitive delays and things. I definitely couldn't sign on to that.
But there may be some,
yes. Mm-hmm. And I do hear what you're saying though, Malcolm, that you know, sometimes, especially the more aggressive forms of bullying, can be signs and indicators of some type of antisocial personality disorder. It can be the case in the extreme situations where you have bullying. But I mean, when you're looking at a child developmentally, you know, some of this is child's play. This is what kids do. Oh, you're ugly. No, you can't hang with us. Oh, look at your shoes. You smell funny. Those things can be classified as bullying if it goes on and on. If there's some type of power differential in play there, like an older child to a younger child, anything like that. But no, generally speaking, no, it's not necessarily a mental illness on either side of that.
Okay, Malcolm, thank you so much. Before I go back to the phone lines, I want to talk very briefly, and we'll talk about more of this on the other side, about strategies, Ms. Greenfield. And obviously, they need to be age appropriate. So I want you to at least think about that just a little bit as I go to a break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Very young children, children middle school age, you know, high school. And we'll talk also about adult bullying, because that's what Teresa wants to talk about, calling from D.C. Also, Andrea calling from Colorado. We'll talk to her as well. Lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about the social and clinical impacts of bullying in our community. Before the break, I was talking with Suzanne Greenfield about strategy. So talk to me briefly about some of the strategies that those that may be victims of bullying can use to address these issues safely.
And the biggest thing that we want to do with our youngest kids is build empathy. Really, really teach empathy. Not just say be nice to each other, but really teach them the skills of empathy and how to understand that other people come from a different place.
So that's a prevention.
That's a prevention.
Which sounds great. Yeah.
But it's also, we have a lot of little kids who are being bothered by other kids who may be struggling with problems. And we want to build their empathy for those other kids also, because that really de-escalates the problem. We also want to build in conflict resolution skills. Some of this stuff isn't bullying. There isn't the power dynamic that Jeff mentioned before. It's actually conflict. And so we do want to also build their skills of how to navigate conflict, how to deal with problematic behavior. We really have to build their skills up. We can't just expect them to be able to do things. With our middle school kids, the focus really oftentimes has to be on a peer support network. Their peers are mighty important to them at that age. And if the ones that are in their larger dynamic at school aren't working well for them, there may be a smaller social group and an activity that they can do. And if they can build some of that peer relationship, it really helps them navigate away from negative behaviors. I would say with our high school kids, again, we're building resiliency all along the way. We really have to help kids learn how to deal with problematic behavior. They're going to be facing it forever. It doesn't end in childhood. We're going to talk about adult bullying, which luckily is not really anything I have to deal with, because bullying is a word yeah. that's word with kids. Mm-hmm. But I really think that some of the skill sets we want kids to learn are really useful all the way along the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Teresa, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm calling in reference to, we talk about the kids and everything.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do about adult bullying?
Give me an example of what you mean.
Just as far as them brushing up against you, won't let you through the door or through the line and stuff like that.
Are you talking about on the job? Yeah, that sounds like hostile work environment harassment.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
And it's, but you know, you're correct. Again, the official term for that wouldn't be bullying, but it is the same type of. So the children who are in high school, after they go through high school and they haven't resolved their issues as bullies, they turn into adults that bully. But we, like I said, they call it something different. You know, they say, how do you address that? If you can at all avoid it, especially as an adult, if you can at all avoid it, that's my number one recommendation. If you know that that person is to the left, if you can at all, if possible, go to the right. But if a person, if it's like in a workplace environment and they're constantly harassing you, you know, and it's they're bullying you at work, then you go to a superior. I know we have this idea in this culture of not telling on people and not snitching and things of that nature. But what ends up happening is that when you leave things be and it continues to happen, then what happens as a victim of bullying, it starts to bottle up within you and you become more and more frustrated. And one day it's all going to come out. And that's the quote unquote overreacting to this small thing, and that people didn't see everything else that was going on. So if you can resolve it as quickly as possible by avoiding the situation, if you can't avoid the situation, get somebody else involved.
Okay. Teresa, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You wanted to say something else?
Yeah. And another aspect of the adult bullying, again, it's not called bullying, but, you know, in relationships, people are constantly bullied in their relationships. I'm talking like intimate relationships. You know, we might call it domestic violence or domestic abuse when you're talking verbal, emotional and things of that nature. But to me, that is all still bullying, and it plays out on the adult level within relationships. And I think that goes underreported a lot of times because it's not as easy to avoid that situation. Some people just take it as their lot in life.
Okay. Andrea calling from Colorado.
Hi, a couple of quick comments. The lady that was giving the strategy, very good. Thank you. I appreciate it. I do parenting workshops around the country as well. And one of the things that I think could also be a strategy is when you have identified kids who are struggling with doing the bullying, to literally call out their parents to have to come into a training so that they have to be trained around not only what it looks like, but maybe being able to identify how their behavior is having an impact on their kids. Because I think we're living now at a time where parents, people in general, have really been dumbing down just in understanding the most basic things that we were brought up with. So sometimes you have to teach them that that's bullying and your kids are picking it up from you. But the other thing that I wanted to comment on is when you talk about adult bullying, the other day I'm listening to Joe Biden talk about Trump and all that kind of stuff. And this man has the nerve to say, well, I feel like I want to take him behind a school building and just beat him up. If the people who represent this country continue to show behaviors that are not of such with their leadership behaviors, our kids are seeing that daily. I just used Joe Biden because I saw him the other day behave that way. But we have so many adults that are in positions that do not take full responsibility for the things they say and do. So it really makes our kids think that they can get away with it. And one more thing, and then I'm done. But the other thing that really bothers me is how we can have a zero tolerance policy and we penalize our kids, but we can't have a zero tolerance policy and these adults get away with it every single day. So I think our kids are watching that. They see the hypocrisy, and it's very difficult for them to process that because they aren't supposed to. We're supposed to process it for them.
Okay. Andrea, thank you so much. Ms. Greenfield, you want to respond to what she was saying?
No, I mean, I think we are seeing an issue. I'm doing a panel tomorrow night on Islamophobia and the effects on bullying for youth. And the fact is we're not really sure, but we do know that we've triggered the parents. We do know that we as adults have really had a reaction to sort of the public displays of anger and violence and degradation of individuals. So I do hear you. I think it really does affect us adults, and therefore it affects the kids. So I think that that's a really important issue. I will say on the bullying of adults, there is such a thing as discrimination and harassment. It's certainly what my office works on as the Office of Human Rights in D.C. And those are issues that you can also address that way.
Talk to me about the modern technology and bullying. I'm often fascinated and not in a good way at the adult Internet trolls that we see. I was reading an article today in the Washington Post, and as I began to read the comments, I literally just felt physically sick at just the attacks on each other, to the point where the original purpose of the article, whatever it happened to be, was completely lost. And I wonder, how is it that we can positively impact children with this when we have adult children, that's the only way I can describe them, doing this same thing because it's almost anonymous?
I mean, there's a strange dichotomy that's going on. I do want to be careful because I'm going to go back to the kid example. The cyber issue is very, very complicated. I liken it actually to sex education. We need to teach our kids about safety. We need to teach them about danger. We need to teach them about making good decisions. We need to teach them that you can get pregnant from having sex once, just like you can put one picture up and it will last in the internet forever and you don't have any control. So there's a lot of conversation we need to have with kids about how they handle social media because we're not getting rid of it. And I think teaching them to be good citizens and really starting to understand what presence they want out there, and to be perfectly honest, don't read the comments. That would be my first recommendation.
Exactly. There,
that is not that is not a good place to put your head. But I really do think we want to teach kids how to be thoughtful around it because this is the world they live in.
How would you advise a parent when it comes to social media? Do we need to see the viral videos of fathers sledgehammering smartphones, you know, because some could argue that in and of itself, putting that on social media when parents think they're showing their children, you know, embarrassing them on social media, but some could argue that's a form of bullying as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a form of bullying and or abuse. I advise parents, as far as social media is concerned, to just monitor what your children are doing. You said it when the word anonymous, you know, anonymity is key to cyberbullying, you know, and another factor is fame. If you can get 1,000 likes, a million views. You know, people are going for views.
I mean, WorldStar.
Oh, my God. I mean, man, front-facing cameras on your phone is the devil, man. I mean, everybody got something to say. Everybody's recording. Everybody's looking for hits, likes, views. And I think that feeds into it as well. But for parents, it's very important, again, to model the behavior. If you go home, a lot of parents are sitting on the couch next to their child or kids looking at their phone. And they're too occupied with their own stuff to really pay attention to what their child is engaged in. And because it's so personal, you remember back in the day, somebody called your house, you know, your parents could answer the phone and they could be sitting on the other line listening
yes.
to your conversation. Nowadays, everybody has this personal, direct, you know, very private interaction with the entire world at this point. And we as parents have to be able to unplug. See, we're immigrants into that. The children are born into it, as you said earlier, man. And we have to be able to unplug ourselves in order that we may pay attention to our children, because they're watching us and they're doing things when they think that we're not watching.
Last 30 seconds, Ms. Greenfield, your final thoughts.
No, I just have to say we have to really take a step back. I think that part of this, though, is not being so afraid to talk to our kids about what they're doing, why they're doing it, really listen to them, because they have a lot of information that we probably don't know because we think we're afraid to hear. Don't be afraid to hear it. Really talk to your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, civility, still, even in 2016, so important. Susan Greenfield and Dr. Jeff Menzi, thank you both so much. I really appreciate you coming in and helping us with this topic.
Thanks, Harold.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, October 26th. I'm Harold Fisher. Don't forget, early voting starting in Maryland tomorrow. And of course, you can also get an absentee ballot. You can find that information on our website, whur.com. Say it loud and proud. Click on it. A lot of information there. Don't forget, you can reach me at HFisher, WHUR, on Twitter, or Daily Drum, WHUR, on Twitter. Coming up, Lorna Newton, and we'll be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I mean, it's 7 o'clock. What am I saying? Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141.